Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. We're so blessed that you're joining us today. You know, there is no doubt that we live in a society that's basically broken. Broken politically, broken culturally, broken socially. In fact, the number of single-parent households today really exceeds anything that even just one generation ago could ever have been imagined. When I grew up, traditional marriages were the norm, where the father was the spiritual leader of the house, so to speak. And when someone in town heard of a marriage ending in divorce, that was tragic. I mean, it was unusual. It was something that people would talk about for months simply because it was not normal. Not so anymore. In fact, the number of marriages that end up in divorce almost match the number that don't. And it should not be that way, but it is. And as tragic as those numbers appear to be, there's also a hidden number that is sometimes forgotten, and that's of the children. Some children appear on the surface to be doing okay, but under that hardened shell, it's just not so. Some children are hurt physically, but almost every single one of them is hurt emotionally. I know. My father was married four times while I was growing up. My mother had died when she was just 19 years old, and I was only 18 months old. Thank God for her loving grandparents. I was basically raised by them. But every time my father would remarry, I'd go back to live with him and my new mom. Then a few years later, I'd be sent back to my grandparents' house as that marriage ended in divorce. And almost every single time, my father would end up in prison for one reason or another. Now, I'm not sharing that information for sympathy, but to emphasize that these things happen even more so today than they did when I was growing up. It just so happened that my situation involved the death of a parent in addition to the numerous divorces. And I believe that is one of the main reasons that I've been married for almost 45 years to my wonderful wife. I know firsthand the devastating effect of what divorce can do to children, and I made every effort to ensure my kids would never have to face that. But children that are facing these things, they also miss out on the blessing that a father can have on their life. And sometimes that blessing is the difference in, well, just about everything. My guest today also comes from a tragic background of knowing what the fear of abandonment and rejection is all about. Ray Hurst grew up without the leadership of the father in house. He struggled almost his entire life, not believing he was worthy or loved. And these struggles took him through not one, but two devastating life-changing depressions. You know, he's gone bankrupt, lost his business, his home, almost lost his life. And after facing the second battle with depression, something significant happened that changed his trajectory in life forever. He realized that there were so many other people out there that felt just like him. And he began assisting others as they faced their own hurts and fought their own battles to overcome the pain of rejection and abandonment. This ultimately gave Ray Hurst a sense of purpose. He now had a new calling in life to reach out to others in this world and help them to feel loved and wanted again. His saying is, he will be to the world what the world wanted to be when he needed them. He's written a book titled Daddy, Why Don't You Love Me? A Father's Blessing to His Son or Daughter, Healing the Wounds of the Absent and Abusive Father. Help me welcome to the program, Papa Ray Hurst. Papa Ray, thank you for joining us today on the broadcast.
I am so excited to be here to share with the world what the world didn't share with me when I needed them.
Amen. Amen. First question I always ask, other than that brief information I shared above, you tell us in your own words, who is Papa Ray Hurst?
I am I'm just a father who wants to be a father to the fatherless. I really want to, again, be for the world what the world was not for me when I needed them, because I realized that as a personal transformation coach, and I'm sitting in a coffee shop and a stranger sits there and I share my best and deepest information, I don't hold anything back because I know that person will never be the same and everybody they meet will never be the same because I freely gave all I had. That's what I want to be. I want to give all I have to everybody I can. But I got to make a living. But at the same time, I love to pour out my best information because I want to touch the world. I really do.
Amen. Amen. How did this fear of abandonment basically develop to the point it became rooted in your mind that, well, basically to the point that it all caused all these problems to manifest?
I love that question. Thank you for asking it that way. So if you could imagine, every thought builds on a thought, and everything in our life that we respond to is based 100% on a belief that we developed at some point from conception to where we are. And the core of our life is from conception to 10 years old. And our brain is operating in what we call a hyperneuroplasticity, simply meaning our brain's sucking in a lot of information and it's not able to really categorize, that's not so good or that shouldn't be that way. No, what our brain takes in is fact until we come to understanding and able to change it. Sadly, we don't go back and change the meaning we gave to it at that time. So now if you could imagine, you're taking a piece of paper and stack another piece of paper on top of it and another piece of paper on top of that. At first, it seems like very insignificant. We got 30, 40 pieces of paper. What's that? Well, put 30 pieces of paper on top of each other every single day for 40 years. What do you have? You have a huge stack of paper that when you're looking at it, all you can see is that stack of paper. So is one thought built on another thought that created a belief? So I like to say is you have a thought, and if you don't take that thought captive, it becomes an idea. So that idea, if you roll it around in your mind, becomes a belief. And if that belief you hold on to will become an action. Mm-hmm. And so your actions become your lifestyles, and your lifestyles create a whole new set of thoughts. And that's how I got from growing up in a Christian home to wanting to die. I was literally 5 minutes away from suicide. I was done. I was hopelessly done.
Amen. And when did you realize that the root cause of all these problems went back to what you went through as a child?
I kind of knew that all my life, but I never really dug down into the root that I had to change my mind. I had to realize that God could not change my mind for me, because if God could change my mind, he would have done it a long, long, long time ago. God would have never allowed me to suffer because I'm 60 years old. I lost 30 to 40 years of anger, depression, rage, and just angry because I wasn't putting my thoughts in perspective. I wasn't able to, understand all this. And so I would be very angry and a lot of rage, a lot of bitterness. I literally lost 30 to 40 years of my life because of that.
Yeah.
And now is after I came out of my last depression, a little over 7 years ago, took me about a year to really get on my feet again. But after that, so that's 2015 was when I hit my lowest point. I was done. So into 2016, we were good. I knew I wanted to live. I didn't want to die. I wanted to prosper. I just didn't know how. So I just kind of started doing some really deep studying and trying to understand the underlying motives and what's happening. What does all this mean? From 2016 into 2017, we went on an exponential, unbelievable growth. Amen. So if we scale everything from 0 to 100, 0 the worst, 100 the best, 2015, I was below a 20. 2016, we hit like a 35. And this is my wife, son, and I all kind of scaled this together. Mm-hmm. 2017, we hit from a 35 to a 78. Mm. And we've just been growing ever since.
Amen.
And last year, I said to the Holy Spirit, I'm like, wow, I'm like bouncing up against the ceiling here. What's going to happen now? And the Holy Spirit said very clearly, he goes, don't worry about it. You'll break through and it'll get hard again. You'll break through to the next level. And I'm like, what? He goes, yeah, you just break into the next level and just gets hard again until you learn what you're doing. Then you just grow exponentially.
New level, new devil.
Exactly. You know what? That is exactly what happened. And it was just a crazy how, you know, when we thought we were coming up against, I literally slowed down. I started backing up and slowing down. And that's kind of what you can analogy to hitting the wall is before when I hit the wall, I would run by. The problem with hitting the wall and sliding back or running away is you have to walk all the way back to the wall. So every time you hit the wall and you fall down, guess what? When you get up, you got to walk all the way back to the same wall over and over and over. And that's what I did all my life is I'd hit that wall, I'd get angry, and I would run away or fall down. Well, I had to walk all the way back to that exact same wall every time.
Yeah.
And there's no way around that wall. You have to go through it. And so my anger, depression, and bitterness and strife, I would fight against the fact that I had to go through it. And it wasn't until I said, okay, there's no rewards on this side of the wall. Everything's on the other side. I got to go through.
Yeah.
You know how you go through that wall? You change your mind. It's all mental. It's a belief. Amen. That wall, we like to say the devil may, you know, the devil's standing in my way. No, he's not. No, the devil's not standing in your way. It's how you think. Yeah. It is when you know the truth will set you free. Amen. So that means if you're not free, somewhere you don't have the truth. So here's really, really important, guys, is if you're battling or struggling in any area of your life, look for the lie that does not line up with God's kingdom truth.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Because the father of lies is allowed to be where? On a lie.
Yeah.
If there is a lie in your life, the father of lies has a legal authority to stand on that lie. And he does not have to leave. No matter how much you pray, no matter how much you anoint yourself with oil, speak in tongues, and it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
If you have a lie, the father of lies has a legal right to be there.
Yeah, that's right.
So what do? Is we literally got to go back, way back, way back, way back, all the way back, and find the lie. Denounce the lie. The lie is in praise what God. We believe, Amen. Not what somebody told me, but what do I believe? So I used to tell people all my life until 7 years ago, I'd tell people, oh yeah, I was abandoned, I was rejected. Guess how I lived my life? Like same. I was abandoned, like same I was way. Rejected. Yeah. It's like stacking that piece of paper on top of each other. I had 53 years of stacking papers that I'm abandoned, I'm rejected, until I seen this mountain that says Ray Hurst is abandoned and rejected. Well, that's how I live my life, through that perception, that perceptions.
Yeah. It's kind of funny that you talk about that because, you know, before we started the recording, we shared a little bit about our backgrounds. And, you know, I remember going to school, and we're a small town, about 5,000 people population. And some of the school teachers in high school were the same teachers that my father had when he was in high school, right? And, you know, we go to events and, you know, go to, you know, Little League's baseball games, stuff like that. The other parents cheering in the stands. I had nobody cheering in the stands, you know. And, you know, just these things adding up over time. And I remember I was acting up in class one day, probably as a way to get some attention. And the teacher was, a, you know, she was elderly by that time, but she was probably about 25 years old when my dad was in her class.
Okay.
And she's like, you're going to end up just like your father.
Ooh, you know? Ouch.
And everybody knew my dad was in prison at the time, you know. Oh. And so, I mean, you know, those thoughts, but, you know, we talk about the decisions. And, well, I looked at the military. Nobody knew me. Nobody knew my background. Nobody knew my upbringing. I had a chance to recreate my life in the military. And that's exactly what I did, you know, and, you know, I excelled at everything we did and blah, 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 blah. But there was none of this past holding me down.
Yeah.
As far as that. Now, you know, we talked about the alcohol and all that stuff. That was in me, but nobody had any influence on that because they could not say, well, you're just like your father, because they didn't know my father. They didn't know my family.
Exactly. So, yeah.
Amen. Amen. So I can relate to everything you're just talking about.
Yeah, this is really critical. I love to dive into what I call the mechanics of emotions. And let me just unpack that really quick, because this is really important. Is a lot of Christians want to blame the devil, and the devil's a problem, not the problem, because the word of God that I read says I have authority over the enemy. And that means if I have authority, he has to resist the devil and he will flee from you. And Jesus said, you'll do what I've done and even greater things. So I have to say, why am I not having authority? Why am I not doing what Christ has done and greater things? Why do I not have the mind of Christ? So we got to look at this all the way back to Genesis. And Genesis chapter 2, at the very end of the chapter, it says he created a man and woman. They were naked and not ashamed. So it's very critical. That word shame is a very powerful emotion. Just jump into Genesis chapter 3. After they ate of the fruit, God was walking through the garden. He's calling out, Adam, where are you? And Adam responded, I heard you and I was afraid. Mm-hmm. A very powerful emotion. So now if you look in Genesis chapter 2, they were not driven by emotions at all. They're not emotional people. They were naked. I mean, seriously, no shame.
Yeah, totally exposed.
Now, ate of the fruit, and now they're afraid. So I call it understanding your owner's manual, the Genesis 3:16 model. Because in Genesis 3:16 is where God finally says, okay, because of what you did, you're going to do this, this, and this, and this is what your life is going to be from here on out. Mm-hmm. So what are we now as the Genesis 3:16 model? Is Adam and Eve were created in the image of God, and so all are we are, but originally, before the fall, is they were spiritual beings in a physical body, not driven by emotions. Now, this is really, really critical. In the, relative to the size of the earth, the Garden of Eden was rather small. Mm-hmm. So as my imagination is, as people would have multiplied, the garden itself would have increased in to meet the needs of how many people were there. Mm-hmm. So you could say the Garden of Eden was literally the kingdom of heaven on earth.
On earth, yeah.
What's the mandate today? Has not changed.
Amen.
Take the kingdom of heaven and spread it around the earth. It's still the same. It's just we don't have the Garden of Eden anymore. But our mandate and our commission is still the same. Yeah. What is our number one problem in doing this? And most people would say, well, it's the devil. No, it's not. It's our emotions. Remember, God, Adam and Eve were spiritual beings in a physical body, not driven by emotions.
Yeah, amen.
We are now spiritual beings in a physical body that have erratic emotions.
Amen. Amen.
We want to, and like Jesus had a pure spiritual connection, exactly like Adam had, because as Jesus was discerning the Pharisees' thoughts by his spirit.
Yeah.
Jesus said he knew the thoughts of the Pharisees through his spirit. So Jesus came with everything Adam had and everything we have. We can, according to Jesus' words, be like Christ, have the mind of Christ, do what Christ has done in greater things. How do we do that? So our goal is to get to the spiritual mastery Jesus had.
Amen.
In order to have spiritual mastery where we can go into the spirit realm and the demons will flee from us, we need to have personal mastery. Personal mastery is I control what goes in my mouth when I'm famished. I control what comes out of my mouth when I'm kicked in the corner. Before I can have personal mastery, I need to have intense personal transformation. Mm. intense personal transformation really is, I have to stop and say, Ray, what are you thinking? Why are you thinking that? Is it true? What is the truth? Stop. What am I thinking? Why am I thinking that? Is it true? What's the truth? Because, so let's just dive a little more into what's happening emotionally here real quick, and then we'll get. So we have a 40 thoughts a minute, about 70,000 thoughts a day. Crazy enough, 50% of our thoughts we have today are the same as we had yesterday we didn't resolve.
Yeah.
Here's the problem. You ever get stuck in the mud or the snow with your car? Mm-hmm. What do? First thing, inevitably, we step on the gas, try to spin our way out. If that doesn't work, we throw it in reverse and try to spin our way out. What do we do when we get stuck mentally, emotionally?
Same thing.
We step on the gas. Yeah. We try to outthink, what are we thinking? We try to race through all these different scenarios. You know what? We really need to just stop. Stop. Ray, what are you thinking? Write down, what are you thinking? And then you ask yourself, "What, Ray, why are you thinking that? Is it true? What's the truth?" So whatever you write down, you again say, well, why are you thinking that? So what you write down, you say, well, why are you thinking that? Why are you thinking that? When you get about five or six down from the start, you're going to get into what we call the root. Every fruit has a root. Every thought, every decision has a root cause, a root of why do I even have that in my mind? Mm-hmm. And I always say, if you really want to know the truth of somebody, watch when they get pushed in the corner. Whatever comes out of their mouth is truly in their heart. I call it the wine press, the W-H-I-N-E press. It's when you get in that wine press and that thing gets turned hard enough, what's really inside of you is going to come out of your mouth. If it ain't Jesus, there's a lie there.
Amen. Let's back up a little bit. Tell us what happened in 2004 that changed your perspective on your calling in this area of standing in as a father figure.
Yeah. So 2004, I was in Brazil with Global Awakening. And as I was praying for this girl, the Holy Spirit said, bless her as her father. I'm like, what? And I remember John Sanford from Elijah House, a video of him talking about this. I'm like, oh, I got this. And so I told her, I said, you know, I'm sorry for not being there. I'm sorry for not loving you as a little girl. And she just starts weeping profusely. And I'm like, whoa, I did not expect this to happen. Kind of like caught me off guard. And I said, oh, I bless you as your father. You're loved. You're wanted as a daughter. You're accepted. And she just like weeping again. And that was the first time that I shared what I call the father's blessing. And then back again in 2006 to Brazil with the same missions team. Literally every single person that came to me, the Holy Spirit said, it's their dad. So by now I refined the blessing a lot more, where I literally start from conception, first, second, third trimester, birth, infant, toddler, youth, all the way through life. And I pretty much say is, I bless the time of your conception. You're not a mistake. You're not an accident. You are loved. You are wanted. Yeah. And first trimester, second trimester, all the way through, as we speak life into every part of their being. I ended up going back four times on solo trips just to share that blessing corporately. And I was so blessed because I literally got to share that five and six nights a week.
Amen.
In Brazil. I tell you what, I would literally lose track of time. Some of our service would start at 7 o'clock and we'd go to midnight. Oh, wow. Because it was powerful. I mean, the people were moved. I share these blessings from the stage corporately. I talk about the absent abusive father, do some demonstrations of what happens, what we call an orphan's heart, is how the heart goes close to the father on the earth and goes close to the father in heaven. And then I would share it corporately, and I'd have men and women that would be standing at the front afterward. And I'd say, anybody wants to have a physical impartation? come to the front. In Brazil, all four trips, 5-6 nights a week, we had 80 to 90% of the people come front.
Amen. Amen.
They would be there till literally 11, Amen. 12 o'clock at night. And we would not stop until every person got what they came for.
Amen.
It was, Amen. I missed that so much. And yeah. I'm just going to say this. If you're hearing this and you want to do a corporate father's blessing, I would love to come there and do that.
Praise the Lord.
Well, they were powerful.
How did you begin the process of walking in this special, unique calling that God has now developed to you? I mean, I don't think there's any classes on this in seminary or Bible school.
So, ironically, is this blessing in 2004 literally started in the middle of my two depressions. Mm. And the first depression was 25 years ago, where I lost my home, had to file bankruptcy, sold my business, literally lost everything. But so once you go into depression, you don't always just stay there. I mean, I came back out of it and went to Brazil 6 times, had phenomenal breakthroughs. And after my second depression is where I got really, really serious about understanding, why is this happening? How can I have such manic depression? I felt like David, you know, just going up and down. It's like going to these lofty heights with the Lord, to crashing and burning and saying, Lord, where are you? Why have you forsaken me? Where have you gone? And it's been an incredible journey. But I got to say, guys, and the power of this blessing is it changes how you think.
Yeah.
And that's what I had to do. I had to change how I think. And that's what really got me into this, is I really wanted to be for the world what the world was not for me. And that's why I loved to share this blessing, whether it's one-on-one in the streets of the favelas of Brazil, or it's in the streets of New York City, or in the church. It yeah. didn't matter. I want to share this with anybody and everybody I can, because I seen the radical transformation. And now as a personal transformation coach, this father's blessing is probably does more than anything else that I do in my coaching.
Praise the Lord.
Because it really touches this core being. It touches you at the deepest part of your core, at the earliest part of your life. Yeah. So you could say, in the beginning of our life, what is the first wound or hurt that we could receive? Mm-hmm. And that is not feeling loved and accepted by our fathers or mothers.
Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. We're all out of time for today's portion of this interview with Ray Hurst. Folks, I'm telling you, Ray's story is tragic, but yet at the same time, he's turned what the devil meant for harm into good, just like God said he would. And God has led him to write this book, Daddy, Why Don't You Love Me? A Father's Blessing to a Son or Daughter, Healing the Wounds of the Absent and Abusive Father. Folks, this is such a unique calling. It is such a needful calling. And there are so many hurting people in this world that did not have the love of a father growing up, and that's impacted them emotionally and spiritually as well. And Ray's mission in life is to restore that sense of belonging, that blessing that is so important for a father to pass along to the children. And folks, I can't encourage you enough to go down to the show notes, click the link, order a copy of his book right now, Daddy, Why Don't You Love Me? A Father's Blessing to Son or Daughter, Healing the Wounds of the Absent and Abusive Father. It is so needful in this day and time. Even if your father was present, but, you know, I have to raise my hand. There were times when, you know, I was present, but I wasn't really present. I was all involved with, you know, my job, my career, and all that. And folks, that does take an emotional toll. Go down the show notes, click the link. But more importantly, this is only part one of a great two-part interview. So come back tomorrow for the rest. Till then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on Faith-Based Podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.